right, here we go with episode number 250 of Backseat Box Office for the weekend of December 4th through December 6th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office, this podcast where we talk about movies and other stuff, but mostly movies. And first, let's talk about Art. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I am still enjoying weather that's in the upper 60s, even low 70s at times.
Wow. What would it be in Illinois at this point?
Cold, freezing cold, snow all over the place. A friend of mine posted a picture of his view from work, and it's this beautiful courtyard. It looks like an Ansel Adams photo. It's gorgeous for snow. He's like, "This is my view. I wouldn't trade it for anything." And I said, "My view doesn't have any snow, and it's not likely to have any snow anytime soon."
All right. So, yeah, the weather here in Southern California is it's been like 50s, 60s, and so that's frigid for us sheltered Southern Californians. So, now that I've been talking about weather, let's find out what movies, how they did in the theater last weekend. So, at this point, we're going to talk about the weekend of November 27th through November 29th. Here are your top five movies. At number one, we have The Hunger Games, Mockingjay, hyphen part two. Came in with $52.0 million. At number two, we had new release The Good Dinosaur. Came in at $39.2 million. At number three, we have Creed, which came in at $29.6 million. At number four, we have Spectre, came in at $12.9 million. And at number five, The Peanuts Movie, at $9.7 million. And there is your top five.
That's kind of a soft opening for The Good Dinosaur, huh?
Yeah, and speaking of soft opening, Victor Frankenstein with Harry Potter and Professor X. Came in at number 12 on almost 2,800 screens, barely $2.5 million.
Yeah, that was not looking good in any way, shape, or form. But Pixar, that's kind of, we'll see. Hopefully word of mouth will buoy that up over the next coming weeks.
Yeah, on a per screen average, Victor Frankenstein drops down to 46.
Yikes.
So that was last weekend's box office. Probably going to be a little on the lighter side until December 18th, but yeah. All right, so let's stop talking about what happened to the box office last weekend, and let's talk about what's coming out in the theater this weekend. Art, why don't you tell us about the one movie coming out in wide release?
Yes, we have Krampus opening on 2,902 theaters. It is 64% fresh on the tomato meter. 93% want to see it. When his dysfunctional family clashes over the holidays, young Max is disillusioned and turns his back on Christmas. Little does he know, this lack of festive spirit has unleashed the wrath of Krampus, a demonic force of ancient evil intent on punishing non-believers. All hell breaks loose as beloved holiday icons take on a monstrous life of their own, laying siege to the fractured family's home and forcing them to fight for each other if they hope to survive. Unrated for sequences of horror, violence, terror, language, and some drug material. It is a horror movie directed by Michael Dougherty and written by Todd Casey and Michael Dougherty. I have no runtime listed. Unrated, no runtime. That is weird.
All right, hold on here. Let's see if Box Office Mojo can help us out. Nope, runtime NA.
Yeah, so that's weird.
Now it's a mystery movie.
It's a curse. You walk in, you see the movie, it never ends. It just keeps going forever and ever and ever. I'd say stay away from it. No. Yeah. So we have Toni Collette, Alison Tolman, Adam Scott, David Koechner. Who else is Conchita Farrell? Few others, but names I don't recognize right offhand. I watched a trailer for this. It looks like it has some funny bits, but it's definitely very much a horror movie. So I won't be seeing it anytime soon.
Yeah, same here. I don't know if I want to be scared during my Christmas movie.
Yeah.
All right, some choice reviews. The top one goes to Darren Franich from Entertainment Weekly. If you love Gremlins but don't feel like rewatching Gremlins, consider Krampus a worthwhile diet, caffeine-free alternative. And that's a fresh review, not a rotten.
Right. Diet caffeine-free. Some people really like diet caffeine-free.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, Justin Chang from Variety. Krampus isn't especially scary, but it generates goodwill nonetheless for treating its home invasion for the holiday setup with an appreciably straight face. Home invasion for the holidays. That's a good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. I don't have any interest. I know somebody who does, and I'll have to see if they get around to see it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was the one movie coming out in wide release. So at this point, we move over to share time. This is where each host gets to share, hence share time, what we've been watching on TVs, movies, maybe little games. If it gets a little lean, maybe some podcasts. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, Art, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
No, I'll go first.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so... top of my list, in our pursuing our list of Pixar movies, we picked up Ratatouille.
Oh, nice.
Yes, and I absolutely enjoyed it. Still really love that movie. Happy to add it to the collection. Aubrey has really been enjoying it. So that was a big hit. Still just a good movie. It's played a few times since it came home. Still a winner. One that was not as much of a winner. We're Back, A Dinosaur Tale. Do you remember this one? I thought, for some reason, with the animation being what it was, I thought it was older.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not. It's only about 6 years old. It was 2009. And it's very much in the vein of like, I didn't pay enough attention, but it looks like a Don Bluth type movie. Mm-hmm. It's hand animation. Like I said, it was only done 6 years ago. It's got John Goodman in it. And it was okay. I think I made it about halfway through the movie before I walked away. So that one I'm not recommending as much. The new Batman versus Superman trailer knocked my socks off. Actually showed it to Brittany. I enjoyed it so much because of the whole where Wonder Woman figures in. So I've moved up my level of excitement on that movie. Let's see, what else did I want to talk about? In pre-show, you asked me about considerations I make when buying a game, and I was like, "What? Be more specific, because games can be a broad category." Because we finally got the Wii set up at the house, so we've been playing some Wii games, and we'd been playing before was Just Dance mostly, and then I played other stuff on my own. Brittany asked if I had Wii Sports. I'm like, no, I don't have Wii Sports. I'm not really a sports guy. So I went to GameStop it's Funko Land. There's still a Funko Land over here. But it's owned by GameStop. So I don't know how that works. They bought it, but they left it Funko Land for some reason. Whatever. So anyway, I went to GameStop. I picked up Wii Sports. It was rummaging in their clearance bin. And I found I told you before, the Disney Infinity figures have been taunting me. I don't have Disney Infinity in any way, shape, or form. I didn't plan on buying it. I may now buy it because I found the Rocket Raccoon GameStop exclusive in the display case. Normally $20, more than 50% off. And wow. I'm like,
for Rocket?
For Rocket, yeah. In a nice little Guardians of the Galaxy, like, you know, they have these little hexagonal display cases. It has the Guardians of the Galaxy shield symbol on it. It's got the Milano flying up on one side, like in a little. I'll send you a picture later. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I was like, for more than half off, I can't pass that up. I bought my first Disney Infinity figure while I was picking up Wii Sports. So we've been playing a lot of Wii Sporting, a lot of bowling, golf, tennis. Those are the big three that are getting played a lot, bowling, golf, and tennis. So now I've got this Infinity figure that's staring at me on the side of the bed, thinking, I should get Disney Infinity. I don't know. I don't remember. So we'll see what happens with that. Right now I have Rocket Raccoon staring at me when I go to sleep. And let's see. Oh, and that brings me to the biggie, which I'll touch on lightly, and then, you know, we'll dig in a little deeper when you share. But I made it halfway through Jessica Jones.
Okay.
So I'm halfway through the 13 episodes.
So you haven't hit episode 8 yet?
I have not. I'm only into episode 7.
Okay.
Well,
there's a reason I ask about episode 8, but I'll have to wait until you get through the entire thing.
Okay, that's fine. I thought it was a pretty big turning point in episode 6, but she had a pretty big secret she was keeping that finally gets revealed.
Yes.
So episode 8, another big turning point. I can hardly wait. Today was my day off. I am working tomorrow, so I will not be staying up till 6 in the morning chewing up another 5 episodes.
Good.
But maybe I'll watch one or two. We'll see what time we get done here.
Okay. you know what happens there.
I know. You just get sucked in. Oh, it's so good. It's so, so good. I know I still enjoyed Daredevil more. I don't know why yet. Maybe when I finish it, I'll feel differently. But at this point, I enjoyed Daredevil more. So we'll see. So, sir, why don't you tell me what you've been up to?
Go ahead.
Stop. One more thing. Huge, huge thing. You mentioned podcasts. I've put all my podcasts on hold. I have been absolutely devouring the Scott Sigler GFL series. Mm. Over the last 2 weeks, week and a half, I think I started it before we recorded last, but I don't think it's been just a week. It may have just been a week. No, it's been more than that. Anyway, neither here nor there. The rookie, the starter, the MVP, the all pro, I finished all of those, and I'm maybe two-thirds of the way through the champion. And I forgot how much I absolutely, absolutely love this story. I'm listening to it through iTunes. I'm basically listening to it pretty much all day at work. And I came to a realization because Brittany will call me and I'm listening on my phone. And so it'll pause and I'll answer. Because the books are just too big. I don't want to deal with downloading them onto my iPod and blah, blah, blah. So I'm just listening to them on the phone. But Brittany will call me, and I'm like, every time she's calling, I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, it's another good part she's calling during. And every time she calls me, I'm like, you know what? This book is nothing but good parts. So I don't know. Have you ever listened to any of it or read any of the books or familiar with Scott Sigler?
I haven't read, and I didn't read any of the books, but I did listen to The Rookie.
Okay.
And I never got back into
The Starter.
The Starter. But yeah. but I loved it.
You
could tell it was written by a football fan.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Big time. It's so weird because I'm not really a sports guy at all, but I absolutely love sports in other media besides actual sports. I love sports movies. So now, mm-hmm. And I love the sports story. I just don't want to actually watch sports.
Right.
I would recommend getting back into it because I had listened to the Rookie and the Starter and the MVP, and I had started the All-Pro. I never actually finished it because he was still recording it And so I stopped listening, meaning to go back to it. And then it's been many years because the All Pro is done and the Champion are done. So I forget how long ago it's been. It's been 6 years, maybe. I'll have to look back and see when the All Pro dropped because I started it, didn't finish it, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, neither here nor there. I'm almost finished with the Champion and I'm absolutely, absolutely enjoying myself, loving the books. Can't recommend them enough. I'm going to recommend them to other Tony because he is both a football fan and a sci-fi fan. And you really can't go wrong if you're a fan of either, and especially if you're a fan of both.
Right, right. Okay, now you're done?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So let's talk about Jessica Jones.
Okay.
I finished Jessica Jones, and I loved it. Now, did I like it more than Daredevil? Probably no. Probably liked it about the same, because to me they're kind of different. They're kind of different animals. I mean, as you can probably tell, it's definitely more psychological horror.
Yeah.
Than
horror thriller.
Than a straight up crime story.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we got from Daredevil. But I feel like I just want to say this real quick. I just feel like that it's more of a chess match kind of story,
right,
between Kilgrave and Jessica than there was more of a slow burn, I think.
Yeah.
In Daredevil than there was in this one. And that there's definitely two points in the plot of Jessica Jones. I was like, where are we going?
Okay. So, I think you put your finger on it though. That's the difference. I think that's the difference where it matters to me and gives Daredevil the edge. You know, Daredevil is a gritty crime drama, mm-hmm, and Jessica Jones is a psychological thriller.
Right.
And that's the difference. They are both equally good, but for my personal preference, I prefer a gritty crime drama over a psychological thriller. And that is the main difference.
Yeah, and there's definitely one favorite scene that I don't know if you hit it yet, so I'm going to wait until you're done, then we can talk about it. But kind of like the scene in Daredevil where he fights all those guys in the hallway.
Right, right.
That was just, oh my God, it was just fantastic. So, yeah. Am I going to recommend Jessica Jones to everybody? I'm not so sure. Because it's definitely, I don't know, I would have to say it's definitely more adult than Daredevil was.
Oh, for sure. For yeah. sure.
And, you know, as usual, I cannot wait for the next one, which will be Luke Cage.
Yeah.
I'm very excited because he's really good.
Now, you've seen a schedule on that? Because I thought it was Iron Fist. There was an Iron Fist movie that was going to come first.
I was under the impression that they are going to have a series for each one, and then they're going to do a mini series for the Defenders.
I've heard that Iron Fist is now getting a movie. That the last thing I heard, and I could be completely wrong, last thing I heard was a 2-hour movie is what Iron Fist was going to get. That he wasn't going to get the full series like they were talking about in the beginning.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not really set in stone because where is season 2 of Daredevil going to fit in?
Right.
And I think I just saw a blurb that, you know, more Jessica Jones is not going to happen until after Defenders.
Right.
Whenever that is going to be.
Yeah.
Or if they're still going to do it. They could very well not do it.
It's too good. I can't see them. I mean, I guess it depends on, they know what the download numbers are. You know, right. They know how many people are coming to watch. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what their metrics are, you know. But Daredevil got, you know, critical acclaim. Mm-hmm. Jessica Jones at this point has been out for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see how much word of mouth that's getting. But I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And like I said, I liked it almost as much as Daredevil. And I really think the only difference is the genre. And for me, it's a genre preference that makes me prefer Daredevil. But it's still fantastically done.
Right. Another tough question. Do I like Foggy more or do I like Patsy more? That's a tough question for me. And I've also seen in a couple places, when are we going to see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Netflix? Can you imagine what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would be like if it was on Netflix? They're almost there anyways, but anyways. So I really didn't watch anything else other than the Jessica Jones. I'm still kind of basking in the afterglow a little bit. As far as, I want to talk about Superman versus Batman, that trailer.
Okay.
I was less than enthused about that trailer.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what to make of Eisenberg and his interpretation of Lex Luthor.
Okay.
And can we please stop with the Batman voice? Please. We don't need whale speak anymore. As soon as I heard that, I was like, come on. And I was about, I almost clicked pause until Wonder Woman showed up. And he says, okay, I'm back in. And there was an article today talking about, a couple things. That this movie's going to be the anti-Civil War. Where all of the Marvel movies kind of have been very team-oriented. But now with Civil War, it's going to be team-oriented. But there's going to be a split between two of the founding Avengers as far as the MCU is concerned.
Right.
This movie, we're going to start with two heroes start fighting each other and then coming together to fight a common enemy.
Right.
With possibly Wonder Woman saving both of their butts. I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in Zack Snyder. I enjoyed Man of Steel, but I thought it could have been better. But I'm not bringing any baggage in with me as a DC fan.
Right.
So there's probably things that I'm missing on why it's going to be awesome. But as with anything, I mean, I don't have any doubts about Affleck as Batman other than the voice. I'll still go see it. I'm not saying I'm not going to go see it. It's just that I think I've seen better trailers than that one.
Okay.
At least for me.
All right.
So that's all I wanted to say about that. I think this week was the mid-season finale for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I'll have to report on that next week. So that's really all I want to say. Oh, and speaking of podcasts, thanks for recommending The Secret Cabal, another board gaming / role-playing game podcast I listen to. And it's always nice to hear podcasts on the same subject, but from a different region, just because the accents.
Yeah.
And I almost, it's probably just my provincialism, but hearing the Southern accent talking about, board games and other geeky stuff, I was definitely enjoying it, but it took a little getting used to, is basically all I'm saying.
It's so weird because I don't hear it. But I've never been good at that. Like, unless somebody has a really heavy accent, like, a New Yorker or somebody from Boston.
Well, I didn't.
I don't hear any of the other kind of accents.
Well, truth be told, I didn't know that it was coming from West Virginia because they did mention West Virginia during the episode at one point. But I knew it wasn't. It was definitely different than, the area that you're from and Tony
right.
and Adam are from. So, it's not a bad thing. I do like listening to accents kind of thing.
I feel like everything's just Midwest neutral to me.
Right. Right. Cause if it was something that's going to be on broadcast, obviously they probably would have picked people that sound pretty vanilla.
Right.
So that's the beauty of podcasts is you get to listen to people that probably, wouldn't be on the radio.
Right. No.
Or
at least not without some training.
Right. Right. But I definitely like that because, it's more raw and it's more real. So anyways. All right. So I think I'm going to end share time for me. But I do have to mention that we have a voicemail from Tad. And we actually had a voicemail from Tad last week. But we experienced a little delay in receiving it. And we're just going to chalk it up to the Skanksgiving effect. So better late than never. Thank you, Tony, for making sure that we got it. So at this point, we're going to give the floor to Tad, and he's going to tell us about what shows he's been watching. So Tad, take it away.
Hey guys, this is Tad calling in again for Backseat Box Office. Not sure if you guys are going to be recording tonight, or tonight, this week even. Being that it's Thanksgiving and all, I know I won't be able to, but I wanted to call in with a couple of things. First, I finished Jessica Jones. Very good. I would recommend it. I would recommend not watching it with your children. Very liked it. I especially liked that the nurse that helped out Daredevil was in this one also and helped out. And found out she's the character Night Nurse, and I think she might have something to do with the Doctor Strange movie that's coming up. I'm not sure. Thought that was pretty cool. I didn't know much about the Jessica Jones story or the character or anything like that, but I did like it, and I kind of liked a couple of the Marvel Easter eggs that are hidden in there. I also watched a show called The Last Kingdom. It's based on a book series by Bernard Cornwell, who writes historic fiction mostly. Very good. I've read the book series, and I really enjoyed the show. I think it's about 5 or 6 episodes for the season. It's on BBC America. I think there's one more episode of that hasn't aired yet, but I'm sure you can get the episodes somewhere if you really want to, or they should be on Netflix soon. Also watched the first episode of The Expanse. Now, the series officially starts on Sci-Fi on December 14th, I believe, but you can watch the first episode online. And I've read the first, it's based on a book series by James S.A. Corey, who are actually two people that co-wrote it. One of them actually used to be George R.R. Martin's assistant. It's basically a near future, well, I don't know about near future, but future. The solar system's been populated, Mars, the asteroid belt, things like that. And I've read the first book in this series and liked it. It's gotten a lot of good reviews. I saw the first episode, really liked it. And Scott Siegler actually has watched the first 4 episodes and did a podcast on a review of them that was pretty good. But I really like that. I would recommend watching it, or you can wait until the series starts in December so you don't have to wait as long for the next episode.
All right. Thank you, Tad. Yeah, we're going to have to keep an eye out for those other two, and we already talked about Jessica Jones, so that's not news there. So anyways, yeah, thank you, Tad. All right. Now that we're done with share time, now we can get over to news, basically anything that piques the interest of Art or myself. So Art, what's your first news story?
Okay, I am going to kick off with how much money Star Wars fans are paying for scalped opening night tickets. So, tickets went on sale for Star Wars Awakens last month. So how much markup do you think you can expect to pay?
Oh, I don't even know.
Prices have gone up by a factor of 10.
Wow.
So if you live in a major city like New York or Los Angeles and want to go to an IMAX 3D showing of the film, you can forget about the $20 it usually costs and plan to spend $200 or more. And that's peanuts compared to the prices for a special screening at Disney World. There were tickets that originally went for less than $100 are now going for upwards of $1,000. Now that showing includes access to Disney's Hollywood Studios for a special after party. But still, that's crazy. The Force Awakens has already sold more than $50 million in advance tickets. And experts are speculating that the film will do upwards of $200 million in its first weekend. Disney is trying to manage those expectations, though, saying that's a little crazy talk. But I just thought all of that sounded really interesting. So yeah. I definitely won't be going opening night. Didn't buy tickets already. Not going to pay anything. Not paying more than they're actually worth.
Right. No, it's just a byproduct of the hype machine.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know? And you know what? I only have a few stories tonight, and they're all related to Star Wars, or mostly. So.
All right. So, well, I'm going to get my Star Wars out of the way before you bird dog it.
Okay.
This has nothing. Well, I'm not going to say nothing to do, but this has very little to do with the movie that's coming out in a couple weeks. So the only thing there really is Star Wars Rebels. Star Wars Rebels is renewed for a third season. Okay, not really a big deal. Considering that it's almost Star Wars is everywhere nowadays, why would Disney XD cancel Star Wars Rebels? So this isn't really shocking news, but I'm happy because this is a show that my son and I watch every week.
Who was I talking to?
Some numbers.
I was talking to somebody who they really weren't enjoying Star Wars Rebels, and I was like, I think you're. My brother-in-law. My brother-in-law doesn't care for it. He was like, meh. I was like, you're crazy. But go ahead.
Some numbers. The Toon ranks as Disney XD's number 2 series among total viewers. They average about 1.3 million, as well as kids. Kids 6 to 11, boys 6 to 11, and boys 2 to 11. More telling, the series is the cabler's top show among adults 18 to 49, as well as men under 50.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. That's easy to believe.
And internationally, it reaches 48 million unique viewers across 157 countries/territories. It's also generated 4 million plays on Disney XD's Watch platform. So, yeah. Between the new Inquisitors and the backstory for the B-Wing, I cannot be more in.
Yeah. No,
I love it. Okay, Art, what you got?
Okay. I'm going to go off the tracks and talk about something that is not related to Star Wars. Ha ha! So if it's not related to Star Wars, it must be about comic books. I thought this was really interesting because we've had this conversation a couple of times. Michael Caine had a highly unusual audition for Batman Begins. So we talked about how he takes jobs where he would like to vacation. Well, it turns out Christopher Nolan lives not too far away from Michael Caine. He actually showed up on his doorstep, introduced himself, and said he would like him to read a script and consider, you know, being in his Batman movie. And Michael Caine brought him in and said, well, you know, why don't you leave the script behind and I'll read it. And he's like, no, can't do that. Can't risk anything getting out. Don't want any leaks, blah, 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 blah. And so he said, I'll wait. You read it, you let me know. And that started a relationship between the two. Caine has since been in 5 more movies that Christopher Nolan has been, you know, doing. But what I thought was really interesting was Michael Caine is quoted as saying that they've become really good friends, and he knows him so well. He said he had dinner sitting next to him last night for 3 hours, and I know absolutely nothing about his next project. That's how secretive Christopher Nolan is.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was funny. So he went over, knocked on his door, and said, hey, you want to be in my movie? So there you go. Michael Caine getting jobs, just sitting at home.
All right, let me tell you a story about someone that worked on Firefly.
Okay.
Someone that worked on Firefly, the show got canceled. It was a very bitter thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pitched an idea, and they loved it. And so he ended up doing another show with the exact same network, and to which all the fans are, why are you doing this? This is the show that screwed you, or the network that screwed you so hard. And he says, I know where all the good parking is. That's why I went back to the same studio. So,
yep.
Yeah.
And then they burned him again.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what happened. But, all right.
He should go to Netflix.
Yeah. Well, that may or may not happen. So we'll see. Okay. Here's my other Star Wars story. Every male actor ever is trying to get cast as a young Han Solo. So apparently there's an open casting call for the Han Solo movie that is going to be out in 2018, and it's directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, the guys who did the Lego movie kind of thing. So there's a lot of young actors that have auditioned for this part. Ansel Elgort from Fault in Our Stars. Logan Lerman, who I believe was Percy Jackson.
Okay.
It says Fury, but I think that was Some guy from Teen Wolf, Colton Haynes, Bates Motel, Max Stereo, Dave Franco, who's 30, Aaron Taylor Johnson, who they have listed as Godzilla, but you know everyone probably knows him as Quicksilver.
Okay.
Whiplash's Miles Teller, even though you could have went with Mr. Fantastic, but they're probably trying to forget that. Jurassic World's Nick Robinson, so the older boy who was also in King of Summer. We remember him from King of Summer because we love that movie. Leo Howard, who's from a Disney show called Kickin' It. Tony Aller from The Purge. Walking Dead, Chandler Riggs, so Carl.
Wow.
So that might be a stretch. Weeds, Hunter Paris. Mr. Robot's Rami Malek, who's 34. Gossip Girl's Ed Westwick. Harry Potter's Tom Felton. And Gallivant's Joshua Sassy, 27, just to name a few. And they've also been looking at young comedians, too. So, and all they're really looking for is someone in their early 20s. So,
right.
I'm sure whoever they pick, the internet is going to lambast them big time. So it doesn't really matter. So you might as well do Ben Affleck. All right, Art, what do you got next?
I got a story that absolutely broke my heart. How much weight Carrie Fisher was asked to lose for Star Wars The Force Awakens? So that is just, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
Could not agree more.
35 pounds, she told Good Housekeeping. Is what they wanted her to lose. And it's just like, what? Come on. We're talking about, it's been 38 years since Fisher last played Leia. And it's like, people grow old, they get older. What is the, I thought it was terrible. She's quoted as saying, I'm in a business where the only thing that matters is weight and appearance. That is so messed up. They might as well say get younger because that's how easy it is. I'm glad, you know, in the photos I have seen of her, you know, she's gray. They're not trying to, you know, make her look younger. But the fact they told her, you have to lose 35 pounds if you want to be in the movie. Probably wishes she had told him to get stuffed.
Yeah, I'm not seeing the movie now. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm still going to see the movie.
Yeah, but yeah, it's I was just looking at her one-liner for at the top of the article. Nothing changes. It's an appearance-driven thing.
Yeah.
She said in a new interview. But on a side note, I do have to mention what Mark Hamill said because he was also asked to go on a weight loss regimen. And he said, I'm on the if it tastes good, don't eat it diet. Says the actor. So, yeah. Okay. All right. For something completely different that's not Star Wars related. Well, not really, but... you know how I don't like the clickbait of Cinema Blend, but they did do a good rundown of the 26 absolutely huge movies that are coming out in 2016.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to try to go through these as fast as I can. It's all up to my Firefox here. All right. So they go with the absolutely huge movies, and the first movie they talk about is Hail Caesar. It's a Coen Brothers movie. About an imaginary, here it says, set during the golden age of an imaginary Hollywood studio system, a fixer, Josh Brolin, is hired to help retrieve a clueless silver screen legend, George Clooney, after he's kidnapped and held for ransom. So, there's a lot of stars in it, but I know you won't be going because, you know, Coen Brothers.
It's a Coen Brothers movie. It's not going to be huge.
Release date's February 5th. Next up is Deadpool.
Yes.
On February 12th. I really don't need to say anything.
No.
I'll just go to the next page here. I'll be clicking the next one. Zoolander 2, February 12th. May. Same weekend.
Yeah.
On March 4th, we have Zootopia.
I'm interested.
Disney's latest animated effort, imagine a society where animals populate cities and towns, not humans. This is an idea that I've been waiting for forever. I have a friend of mine that we were in high school. He always thought that when he went to bed at night that his poodle walked around on hind legs and would conspire with the other animals in the neighborhood to take over the world.
Right. That's the other movie that's coming out, right. But I'm sure you'll mention it somewhere along the way.
The aforementioned Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice. Some people are saying Dawn of Justice League. March 25th. And as we go, okay, I see a picture of Thor, but it's not Thor, it's the Huntsman. The Huntsman Winter's War. After helping Snow White to defeat the Evil Queen, the Huntsman strikes off on his own adventure. Though we don't know much about it, beyond the fact that Charlize Theron is returning, and she's bringing Emily Blunt and Jessica Chastain along for the terrifying ride.
Yep.
And that comes out April 22nd. Next is Captain America Civil War on May 6th. All right. This is why do we need this. But Neighbors 2 comes out May 20th. Basically the same cast, but now they have a crazy sorority headed by Chloe Moretz and Selena Gomez.
Oh.
And back on the Nerd Boy tip, we have X-Men : Apocalypse on May 27th, which they're saying could be the last X-Men with the first class cast. It says here, Fox is moving forward with new branches focusing on Deadpool, the New Mutants, Gambit, and beyond.
The New Mutants, really?
Yeah, that's interesting. I was shocked about that, too. So, as with anything, which ones? But we'll see.
Right, yeah. Because for me, the New Mutants are like Cannonball, Sunspot, Magic, Danny...
You talking about Moonstone?
Moonstone, yeah.
Yeah. I heard about this last month, and I was looking up some of the New Mutants, because I still have some New Mutant comics around here somewhere.
I'm sure they're all different now.
Yeah,
the New Mutants, I'm like, those aren't my New Mutants, my goodness!
I mean, it could be the same complaints that about Guardians of the Galaxy, because, you know, the Guardians in the movie were like the second group of Guardians, not the first ones. All right, then we have Warcraft. So that's the 1,000 Points of Light, which is people turning their PCs off and going to watch a movie.
Right.
That comes out on June 10th. Oh, my God. Okay, this put this one right under Neighbors 2, Independence Day Resurgence.
Huh. Anybody coming back for it? Any ideas?
I am scrolling down. Oh, Jeff Goldblum, Bill Pullman, Vivica A. Fox.
Okay.
In addition to Liam Hemsworth and Micah Monroe, that's June 24th.
No, we'll
they don't see even that. Do it on the same day. Okay, I understand. Okay. the BFG, which is a children's book by Roald Dahl, but it's done by Spielberg, and the cast includes Bill Hader, Mike Rylance, Jemaine Clement, Ruby Barnhill, and Rebecca Hall. Now that's July 1st. Okay, so I see Half Naked Guy, so it must be Tarzan. Yeah, that's July 1st also. That's all I need to say about that. Ghostbusters is July 15th. This is the female cast of Ghostbusters.
Yeah. That could be interesting. And we'll see how that goes.
And I've heard that Chris Hemsworth plays the secretary.
Nice.
In this one, so yeah. That comes out July 15th. Okay, Art. Star Trek Beyond, July 22nd. This is the one directed by Justin Lin. So okay. Fast and Furious in Space. That comes out July 22nd. I think I said that already. Bourne 5, July 29th. Okay. I'm actually excited about this one. Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
August 5th. And everyone is just dying to see Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
All right. Gambit, even though I've been hearing that they've got like a new director or writer or something, but that comes out October 7th.
That's been having some problems.
Right.
We'll see.
Next, Inferno. Robert Langdon, the hero of numerous Dan Brown novels, find himself in another historical conundrum. This one's set in Italy and set against a racing clock, again, to stop a madman, Ben Foster, who has a destructive solution to the planet's overpopulation problems. That one comes October 14th. We have another Jack Reacher. That comes out October 21st. Doctor Strange, November 4th. So we have Benedict Cumberbatch as Stephen Strange. We have Chiwetel Ejiofor, Rachel McAdams, Mads Mikkelsen, and Tilda Swinton playing the Ancient One. And I think we're almost at the end here. November 18th, we have Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. So this is another Harry Potter movie, but it is set in the U.S.
And it's also a prequel.
Yes, it's also a prequel. And I don't know about this one, but you know, who am I kidding? We'll be in the theater for this one.
Yeah, screenshots look good.
All right,
I haven't seen the actual footage yet.
What do you know about Mona?
I don't know anything about Mona.
Okay, what's it about? Mona, the latest Disney adventure, sets up on an expedition across the South Pacific, teaming up with a demigod named Maui, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, to battle incredible sea creatures and explore brave new worlds. So I believe you told me about this one originally.
Yes, yes, I did.
So The Rock in a musical, circle your calendar, November
23rd. Right.
And 2016 wouldn't be complete, as far as Disney's concerned, without a Star Wars movie. So Rogue One will be out on December 16th. And it's set in the time between Revenge of the Sith and Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope, so Episode 3 and Episode 4. It's going to follow a band of rebellion fighters who are tasked with stealing the plans for the Death Star. This is directed by by Gareth Edwards, who did, I don't remember if he did Jurassic World or if he did Godzilla. I can't remember. But anyways. And then December 21st, Assassin's Creed, played by Michael Fassbender.
Interesting.
And December 21st, we have Passengers. A great premise finds a spacecraft transporting thousands of people through the galaxies. But when a sleep pod wakes up one passenger, Chris Pratt, he finally decides to wake up another, Jennifer Lawrence, rather than face the next 60 years of his life on his own. Interesting. And that takes us through 2016. So hopefully that helped you guys out. So Art, what do you have left?
Well, The Secret Life of Pets wasn't on that list. I kept waiting to hear that one. That one looks really funny. Let's see how that didn't make the list, because that's probably going to do more money than that Coen Brothers movie.
Oh, don't. We shouldn't bet, Art. We really shouldn't bet. Now I gotta find your pet thing.
What pet thing? It's summer 2016, and it's called The Secret Life of Pets. I've seen the previews. It looks funny. More than I can say for any Coen Brothers movie I've ever seen. Now I'm just being mean.
No, I was going to say, it sounds like you're, you know, you got low blood sugar or something, because now you're just saying things that are mean. Or Finding Dory. They didn't bring up Finding Dory.
Oh, there you go. See? So, I mean, there's some good movies on that list. There's some definitely high points.
Secret Life of Pets is July 8th, and it has to contend with Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. So that's not a great weekend. So the voices for The Secret Life of Pets, Louis C.K., Eric Stonestreet from Modern Family, and Kevin Hart. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, from people who brought you Minions. So, all right. So yeah, we'll have to see about that. Any other comments from the Peanut Gallery?
The Peanut Gallery just walked in the door. Yes, Aubrey.
Well, I
remember
it on the calendar.
Oh.
Well, first you put on the nail and then it went to the wall.
Okay, you want to nail the calendar to the wall? Okay,
yeah, these glue will just fall off there if it's not dry. Because they can only bake the paper if it's on, like, on the table. It will fall down if it's on the wall. Because if it's not dry, then it will fall down the wall. So it will have a nail in it, because you can just, like, hammer it in.
Right. I will hammer a nail into the wall to hang the calendar as soon as I'm done with my show here, okay?
I'll just wait right here, okay?
Okay, nice and quietly.
Wait, Daddy?
Yes?
I'll try not to make any noise, okay?
Okay, try really hard. Okay, so where were we? Peanut Gallery?
Yeah, I was asking you if you had any comments about any of the movies that are coming out next year?
Yes. There are so many to be excited about. I mean, so many good comic book movies, sci-fi movies. I mean, I could not ask to be living in a better age. I mean, you know, what we grew up with does not even compare to what we have now. So I'm really excited about the coming year and a lot of the movies. Batman, Superman, Deadpool, Suicide Squad, what else? The new Star Trek movie, the new, which other ones really caught my ear? I don't know. It's just, I'm very excited. It cannot get here quick enough. I even just, you know, waiting the next, what are we at now? We're at 2 weeks to Star Wars.
Yes.
Well, it'll be a little more than that because those first couple of days are going to be sold out, but I don't have to see it opening night. Yeah, you're going to actually see it before opening night. So
that is true.
So yeah, no, exciting times. I can't get here quick enough.
Very true. Very true. Okay. Do you have any other news stories?
I have one last news story. Okay. And it's not, I want to say it's borderline spoilery, but it's not really spoilery.
Okay.
It's 5 educated guesses at Luke Skywalker's big secret. You know, why is everything so secretive? What is J.J. Abrams hiding? You know, why was he not in the last trailer? And so these are 5 educated guesses on what's going on with Luke Skywalker. So number one on the list, people are just rampant speculation going out there that he's evil. You know, they say, you know, Luke's been fighting the dark side for his entire life, and after 30 years, it's certainly possible he lost the struggle somewhere along the way. In the new, what is it now? Legends. No longer the EU, it's the Legends.
Right.
You know, he definitely fell to the dark side at one point. He came back from that, so we'll see. You know, they could be going down that path. I thought that was interesting. They're also speculating that he has kids, and a lot of the scenes have him interacting with those kids. You know, they talk about the intro where he says, my father has it, my sister has it, I have it, and where is it? Strong in his family, so he says father, himself, his sister, and somebody else. You know, they talk about it's been 30 years. Who knows? It's possible he met somebody in that time. And they also talked about it would give Luke the chance to say, I am your father, to somebody else, as it was said to him. Right. So, next up, taking a second to load, thanks to the clickbait that is Cinema Blend. He might die in The Force Awakens. And, you know, people say the fact that we know he will be appearing in Episode 8 doesn't really give you much to go on because Alex Guinness was in Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Right. But as a Force ghost. So we shall see how that goes. Let's see. He's hiding from the First Order. That's a very strong possibility. You know, they talk about how the Empire killed most of the Jedi between episodes 3 and 4. And he'd be taking a page out of, like, Obi-Wan and Yoda's notebook of going into massive hiding. Yeah. And the last bit of speculation, he's protecting something that must stay hidden. Because we have Kylo Ren, who is all into artifacts that have to do with Darth Vader. He has something that Kylo Ren wants, and he doesn't want to fight Kylo Ren over it.
Yeah.
So that's it for the rampant speculation, and that's it for my news stories. Do you have anything else?
No, I am also done.
Okay.
So let's end the show. So everyone, thank you for listening to this episode of Backseat Box Office. And Art, I got a little trivia question for you.
Okay.
Do you know what number episode this is?
I do not follow what the numbers are. 290 something or maybe 300?
You're giving us way too much credit.
Oh, I don't know.
either tonight, if I'm up to it, or tomorrow, I will be posting Backseat Box Office episode number 250.
250, okay.
So I don't know, and I've been meaning to look it up, but it seems like we've been doing this forever.
It's been a while.
Not that it's, I'm not saying it's tiresome or anything, but I just want to say, virtual pat on the back for joining me for number 250.
You know, I was just thinking earlier, as my daughter interrupted the show, your son, not interrupted, but I heard him in the background in the pre-show. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself at the time, I meant to say something, but I didn't. But I meant to say, you know, we've been doing this long enough that I hear him maturing. He sounds significantly older than when we first started doing this.
He's really started to grow.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. You know, further down the line, we can go back and listen to your daughter.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember doing shows where she's, you know, a little baby laying in the bed next to me. I mean, I don't know how long I've been on the show now. I don't keep track like that. I don't look back and I'm like, when did I come on? I don't remember, but it's been a while. But yeah, 250. Then it must be Backseat Producers that's getting close to 300 because they're both in the same feed for me. So I see things drop and I just download them and I listen to them, but I don't pay that a close attention to the numbers.
Yeah, I've got BackseatProducers.com open right now, and their last episode, The Martian, was 361.
361. Okay, so I don't know. Well, what was going on here.
Yeah, because Secret Cabal was, they just did their number 100. So I'm
behind on all of my podcasts right now because I've been just because of Sigler. Yeah.
All right. So, anyways, thanks everyone for joining us for episode number 250, and take care of yourselves. And I wish you safe shopping trips if you are people that like to go out to shops and get stuff for Christmas. If not, good on you doing it the safer way online, even though, you know, personal safety wise, but not necessarily with credit card. But anyways, everyone take care of yourselves and we will catch you next week. Art, any closing words?
Yeah, I will say good night, everybody. And I've got to go hang a calendar. Yeah.